Welcome, everybody, back to Friar Talk. Today, we're recording after this Padres-Dodgers series. It was a really good series. It was pretty sick to watch. I think we are all very entertained. You get the epic comeback on Friday. Saturday, Padres lose, you know, but like props to the Dodgers. They pitched really well. They had a perfect game bid. What was that, into the sixth, I want to say? I think it was five through. Perfect game bid. So still exciting. You have the benches clear, not like a fight or anything like that, but with Profar. Then you get the comments post-game, and then the game to decide the series is Sunday Night Baseball, and the two guys that were kind of chirping, Will Smith and Jerickson Profar, both had great games, and Profar delivers the game-winning hit. So it was pretty sick. And then also, we'll get into this later, it also did kind of seem like there was maybe some questions about Ohtani's baseballs, which I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. Like, it's hard to tell. But it definitely seemed like that. And they're like, oh, yeah, they're marking his balls or whatever. But it was still, why would Mike Schilt go out there? Very interesting. But overall, the whole series, just some banter. And I don't know. I mean, Isaac, Chase, you guys tell me. But it was like, it was rivalry vibes right there. And I know we were talking about that before. And it's like people don't want to say it or whatever. But these are the more entertaining games in baseball right now, are Padres-Dodgers. There's other ones. Phillies-Braves is also sick, but they've been the more exciting games for like the past 5 years now. So another good series here. Isaac and I talked about, we did a little preview episode, and we were talking about it, and we said, look, these pitching staffs aren't as dominant as they used to be. We're probably going to see some more offense. We did see some more offense. However, props to Matt Waldron. I thought his outing was all right, pretty solid there. And we thought he was going to get blown up. But like overall, I mean, the offense was awesome. And we are continuing to see that the Padres offense, though it has this chronic illness of grounding in the double plays every time with runners in scoring position, the offense hits, the order is top to bottom. They all hit. Jackson Merrill, ridiculous series. Obviously, Tatis, great series. Manny Machado had a couple bombs. But like, just the overall thing is always like they're consistently kind of fighting back and stuff like that. You get two comeback wins. It feels like a much different team. And I don't know, like it's just interesting. And there's definitely a lot of factors into how good the squad is or whatever, but it has felt a little bit different. I think everyone that's watching can feel that. And this was super exciting. So I don't know, dude, I'm pumped watching this one. Also, like Profar is it's kind of almost like a joke. Like, oh yeah, Profar brings the vibes. Dude, Profar brings the vibes. I think that we need to realize that is the case. Is he going to keep a 960 OPS? No. Well, maybe. There's about an under 1% chance, all right? And maybe, and we were talking about this before he got on, maybe Preller, he's sitting there and he's like, I'm waiting for it. And finally, Profar, former number one prospect, explodes 950 OPS. Okay, obviously that's not happening. But it would be super fun. We were talking about that before he got on. Like, that'd be crazy. But I mean, still. Whole story so far has been that this order hits top to bottom, and we are seeing that again. So, Chase, Isaac, what are you guys feeling after this one?
Great. I mean, you beat the Dodgers. That's the one thing you always want to do during the season. You want to beat the Dodgers. You want to beat the good teams, and you happen to beat one of the best rosters in baseball. Waldron did his thing. Matsui's been looking great. Robert Suarez has looked a ton better than he did last year. Did he throw a changeup today, right? I only saw parts his, but he finally threw a changeup again.
Who's that? Oh, Suarez? Yeah, I think he threw a changeup today, yeah.
Finally, because I remember sending you guys a tweet. It was like, in his last three closing opportunities, he's thrown 45 fastballs out of 45 fastballs. I'm like, oh, holy crap. Gasolina. He was just throwing gasolina. I mean, it's great when your bullpen is doing what your bullpen's supposed to do. I mean, last year when you looked at it and you're like, okay, cool. In the eighth inning, we're throwing Luis Garcia out there and, well, we're probably losing this game. And now you're going, okay, cool. We got Yuki Matsui in the bottom of the eighth. He closed down. He faced Betts, where I kind of was like, ooh, you know what? Betts against a lefty pitcher, this is going to hurt a little bit. And he had that weak liner to right back at him. And when you have pitchers like that, you're like, okay, cool. You know what? This bullpen's really good. Yeah, some of the guys are struggling. I still think we could shake up the bullpen a little bit for like our 5-6 guys, you know, like our Colex or, you know.
Agreed.
Someone did get sent down. Chedro Avila got sent down. So it's like not – you could still shake it up a little bit more. Colic had a rough day. I remember looking at him like, this is why Kolek shouldn't pitch in the MLB because he gave up a 3-run bomb. And I was like, this is why we need Jeremiah and Vasquez up. So there's still opportunity to improve. The bats were electric today. I mean, or this series. Jackson Merrill's been doing his thing. He's been exceeding all of our expectations. I remember me and Matt were going at it like, yeah, you know, Jackson Merrill, he's a rookie. You know, he's going to have like a 770 OPS on the high end and like a 720 OPS on the low end. But we're both wrong right now. He's doing way better than we thought he's going to do. He looks really comfortable. He's driving the ball in each direction. I mean, he can play. Thank God. Finally, another cheap, controllable contract. Let the kids play, man. Let the kids play.
Yeah, and not only can he hit, but dude, he looks pretty damn good in the outfield too. He's covering a lot of ground. He made a really great catch in that first game that kind of stopped the bleeding. And dude, he looks so good out there, putting up great quality at bats. He's finding the holes, and I mean, I don't know if we like. I'm sorry if this sounds negative. I don't know if we should expect this over the long run, but dude, this is it's an upgrade over Trent Grisham. That's for damn sure. He looks great out there, man. It's really good to see. It's refreshing to see a 20-year-old, you know. I think he brings great energy, great vibes, looks great out in center field, quality at bats every time he's up there. And I think kind of the coolest thing about him, he goes up there in big situations against arguably the best team in baseball, and he comes through almost every time. Mm-hmm. Each time he was up with runners on, it seemed like he was bringing a guy in. So that's something that I think was missing from the Padres last year from the bottom of the lineup, right? I think that's something that's missing from the Dodgers' bottom of the lineup right now. They have statistically the worst bottom of the lineup in baseball. Right now, the Padres got their bottom of the lineup going. Jackson Merrill's hitting. Tyler Wade, his OPS is horrendous, but surprisingly, like in spots where we needed him to get a hit, he'll bring someone in. Eddie Rosario got a double today. So, you know, the bottom of the lineup, somehow, some way, they're getting it done. I really like the Padres' approach at the plate today. They were less aggressive in a game where they walked 14 times, put up 6 runs. They probably could have put up more runs if it weren't for 2 double plays that ended an inning by Jake Cronenworth. Really, that could have been like a 10-run ball game by the Padres. They could have kicked their ass, but even without that, they still kicked their ass, put up 6 runs. And it's funny how this year, after the 6th inning, you kind of gain some confidence in the Padres. You kind of think like, hey, they're not out of this, because in the past few games, they've been the team that kind of starts slow but picks it up after the 6th. Last year, if they were down by even a run in the 6th inning, it was over. It's just a completely different team. It feels like a completely different team. And I think, you know, when you look at the MVPs of the series, of course, you can talk about Fernando. You can talk about Jackson Merrill. Manny Machado did his thing. But you might have to argue that the MVP of the series was, as a collective, the bullpen. Because the bullpen, after Michael King came out of the game in the first game, they only allowed 1 hit. That's so impressive to a lineup like that, only allowing 1 hit the rest of the way. That was after like the 4th inning, allowing 1 hit. That is incredible. And, you know, that could have been a lot better for Michael King, too. I didn't think Michael King looked horrible. I know he gave up. I think it was only like 3 or 4 earned, but it could have been just 4 in general because Xander Bogaerts made an error that led to a home run. So, I mean, that could have been even worse of a score than it was. It was only 8-7, but it really could have been like 8-4, 8-5, something like that. But yeah, the bullpen looked fantastic. I know Tom Cosgrove got lit up a little bit, but I still think he'll be fine. And then today, magnificent performances from Yuki Matsui, Wandy Peralta, Robert Suarez. Everyone that came in after Yu Darvish looked fantastic. So really a different vibe, a different performance from the bullpen compared to what we saw from them the first 3 or 4 series where the Padres were losing or tying every series. Bullpen came in and shut it down, man. So really magnificent performance from the bullpen. Love to see it. Really happy with the series.
So, yeah. Isaac, we have had a request in the comments that you stop deep throating the mic because it's coming a little loud.
Nick, keep it like right here.
Right here? How's that?
I think that sounds
perfect. Good. That's great. Okay.
dude, I didn't realize that the bullpen did that good. That's crazy. One hit, I just looked up, I was like, no way. One hit, two walks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, they look good, dude. Mm-hmm. And also, it's funny that we talk about, and I'm going to talk about Jack Smyrna in a second here too, but it's funny because the bullpen, like, we started the year in, like, preseason, we're like, hey, dude, I think this bullpen's going to be pretty good. We should expect to be better than last year. They didn't have the mid relief. They didn't have the depth. Yeah, you had Josh Hader, but you didn't really get many innings out of him. That was the reality of it. Like, you got, like, I think it was, like, a little over 50. And, yeah, dude, I feel, sorry, I'm laughing at these comments, bro. But I feel like with the bullpen, right, it just feels like now you look at these guys' numbers after the rough start, and it's like one ERA. There's like four or five guys with one ERAs right now. It's ridiculous. Matsui is a monster. Robert Suarez is a monster. And also, he pitches more than three outs. He comes in the eighth inning consistently. He's a dog. He just comes out there and throws a bunch of fastballs, and no one can hit him, which is just sick. Which is also very good, because remember when we signed him, he gets hurt right away, and it was like, are we having Drew Pomerantz all over again? And it was like, that was a question.
Oh, yeah.
Because for Drew Pomerantz, it was never about like, oh, he sucked on the field. It's just like, he got hurt and never played. And it was like, dude, no way. But he's back. He's throwing gas. It's been good since he was hurt. He's looked really good. I know last year was like not the best, but it was like, he was coming back from injury, and it was minimal outing. I thought he looked fine for where he should have been. Yeah, dude, that's crazy that the bullpen's that good. Wandy Peralta has been pretty good. De Los Santos is pretty good. Cosgrove has struggled, but damn, dude, you still got some guys. Like, you got a clear, like, you got setup men, you got a closer, you got Robert Suarez is legit closer. So the bullpen is coming along, which is good. Because we got scared at first. We're like, dude,
of course,
this looks bad. And we didn't think it was gonna be bad.
Yeah, real quick, I wanted to say before you get back to it, Matt, I wanted to say that this is kind of the more of the performance we expected from the bullpen, because we thought the bullpen was going to be really good coming into the season.
Yeah, dude, big time. So it's been nice to see that. Also see some stuff about Jackson Merrill. Who's ready to buy a Merrill jersey too soon? I will let you guys know right now. Not buying any more jerseys, all right? I don't know if you guys know about this. Chase Isaac, I don't know if you guys know about this. I am cursed on jerseys. So I bought a Tatis jersey, right? Like, I had some older Padres jerseys. I don't really buy that many jerseys. I bought a Tatis jersey. The day I got it in the mail, like, the day I took it out was when he sprained his wrist in 21. It was that day, all right? The two most recent 49ers jerseys I've bought, Reuben Foster, Trey Lance, very nice. And then, not last year, but the year before, I bought a Cronenworth jersey. And then he put up last season's numbers, and it was like, bro, what the hell? So I'm just done. I'll buy retired players. I'll probably buy Gwynn. I'm not buying anyone else like that. But if you're looking to buy a jersey, I mean, Jackson Merrill is looking pretty sweet. So I want to talk about him. Now, we got to do a whole episode on Jackson Merrill, just to being like, hey, look, we were wrong. Because we already talked about it a million times. We wanted to be wrong. We've wanted to make that video. So we're gonna have to do a whole thing on him. So I won't go super deep into him, but dude, he's hitting 300. He looks good. Our predictions for him, honestly, Chase, if you're looking back on it, they very well could end up being right in the range that we kind of put him at. And he could fall and not perform as well. But that's not what matters. What matters is that he belongs. That's the part that matters. And when we talk about the development stuff, it's like, hey, you don't want to rush these guys. You don't want to do that stuff. And that's what we are concerned. Like, are they going to rush him? Is he not ready? Then he played well in spring training. And then we kind of adjusted our narrative. And we were like, okay, it felt like they were just forced into playing him, but at least he earned the role. At least he played well. They still may be rushing him, we're not sure, but we were kind of like, all right, let's see. And now we see him come along, and he's obviously belongs. He's clutch as hell, hits all over the field, and is the lefty bat that the Padres needed so bad. So I think it's been pretty, I mean, I don't know. I think it's about as good of a start as you could have. He also looks great in center, and it's like, damn, dude, like, this dude is ready to play. And let's say his numbers fall off the face of the earth, and he hits a big slump or whatever, which obviously I'm not, you know, knock on wood, I hope that doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, like, it's clear that he belongs, and that's what's important. So we got to accept that. Hey, dude, we're wrong. So that was kind of my thought on him. I see people are laughing about someone said, if you want a Faro jersey.
Oh, Faro?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently you purchased the Pagan jersey, Isaac.
Oh, dude. Come on, bro. That was a guarantee. I love Emilio Pagan.
I think he hated the player more than Emilio Pagan. Like, yeah, even Eric Hosmer might have been below Emilio Pagan.
Oh yeah. P-A-G-O-N-E, Pagan. As in every time he'd come in the game, someone would hit a home run. It was almost a guarantee.
Dude, that was I'm happy that dude's gone. I wish him the most success, but okay, this is something I saw, dude. So everyone's talking about this today, right? And I'm not freaking out about this at all. But like, if you're gonna have two negatives, we'll talk about Xander Bogaerts later. I wanna be happy. Maybe should we just not talk about him?
He fucking sucks.
Let's talk about Xander.
Let's talk about Xander. We can talk about Xander, but let's talk about him in this way. He shouldn't be leadoff anymore.
I firmly believe
Jackson Merrill should be the leadoff. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Or Jackson Merrill or Ha-Seong.
Well, remember, we were talking about it in our chat not that long ago. We said against lefties, Ha-Seong Kim should lead off. Against righties, Jackson Merrill should lead off.
Yeah.
Xander should be batting no higher than five. And I don't even think he should be batting five.
Well, Chase said nine. This is what I said.
No, not, nine makes more sense than five. Look, if he's in this case, bro, where Chase is right, at least if he's going to hit ground balls, it's going to be with nobody on. So,
the way I said it was, it was originally Kim as leadoff because he has his best numbers when he's leading off. Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Merrill, Campy, Profar, Eggy, X. You know, he really battled out there. You know, the guys went and battled.
We knew you were talking about as soon as you said it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let's do another guy that is struggling. All right, because I saw people like freaking out about him, and it's like, guys, I don't want to hear any word about anyone's contract. I don't want to hear anything about Manny, because people were freaking out about Manny. We're like, dude, it's not. Who cares? But we were like, I don't think we had any panic, and I think it was like, he's gonna be fine. But people were talking about Xander, and that was warranted. Now today, after his outing, people were talking about Yu Darvish freaking out. One. Darvish is allowed to have a bad outing every once in a while. His ERA, I think right now it's a low 4 ERA. He usually has a high 3 to a low 4 every single year. So let's not act like he's like coming out here just and has sucked. That's not been the case. He went 7 deep in one game. He looked really good against the Dodgers in Seoul. And now people are like freaking out about it.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add something to it.
Yeah, I thought you were talking. You were muted.
No, yeah, I just wanted to add something to it. Yu Darvish had a magnificent outing against the Cardinals where I think he ended up allowing two or three runs, but he went 7 deep, and it was only one inning that kind of ended up screwing it up. Today, he didn't have his best control, but it was one inning where he had allowed 3 runs. So it's just two bad innings, really, he's had all season.
Yeah, and people are, like, panicked about the contract. Well, dude, let's not talk about a contract if Xander's contract's here, all right? Like, let's not freak out about that. And also, go look at the contract. For anyone that's freaking out, go look at the contract. Oh my God, we have him signed until he's so old. Bro, it's like 15 mil. You know, who makes 15 mil this year?
Like Sean Manaea?
Yeah, it's Sean Manaea. Yeah, Nick Martinez. Yeah, yeah. Nick Martinez makes like 15, or like 13, you know, like barely anything less. That's like the last 3 years of the deal. So like after next year, it drops way down. It's extremely front loaded. So it's like, dude, the only thing is like if he's healthy, like even apparently because of these numbers, apparently if he's pitching 150 innings and he has a 5 ERA, by comparing it to those other contracts, he's going to be about average. Think about that. Like, and that's expecting him to like completely fall off. You know, the only thing that really matters for him is health because he's getting older. I don't think he's just going to fall off. It's not like his game is like, I'm going to go out there and throw 102. No, it's like, I throw 16 pitches. Good luck. That's what his game is. So it's like, I'm not like freaked out about him at all. Are you guys feeling like that? Like, I was like, what are we talking
Darvish
about?
Darvish also usually has his little bouts of where he struggles for a little bit. Then he's lights out. He struggles for a little bit. Is lights out. Struggles for a little bit. It's lights out. He's a giant, you know, just
a wave. Yeah.
It's fine. It's going to happen. He's older. He's going to be fine. every older pitcher goes through his little bouts. He's going to be fine. He's got a lot of MLB experience. He obviously knows his mechanics, his pitches the best. He might get a little fatigued a little bit more often where he, if he is out there a little bit longer than he normally is, he's probably going to have an inning like that, but it's nothing to be worried about. We're not riding him as the ace of the team. He's the most experienced pitcher, yes, and he is by all means the ace, but we're not riding him like, oh my God, if Darvish has a bad year, we're doomed. No, we have other pitchers that are doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wasn't just Darvish that was struggling with control today. Who was it? What was his name? The lefty. Oh, Paxton, he had like 7 or 8 walks. The Dodgers walked 14 guys in total. Yeah, he had a lot of walks, most by any major league pitcher this year. The Dodgers in total had like 14 walks. Yu Darvish struggled with control. So everyone outside of probably Eniel De Los Santos struggled a little bit with it before getting his outs. Everyone other than like two guys had struggles with their command. And even yesterday, Matt Waldron significantly struggled with his command. Great outing, by the way. 5 innings, 1 run. That was awesome. Didn't expect that. But either way, he threw a lot of pitches because he struggled with it. That was the most Blake Snell-esque start I've ever seen from anyone not named Blake Snell. So it was good to see. But the thing I want to say is that it's just that it was raining, bro. It was like the ball. Oh God. The balls were moist. Pause. So yeah, I don't really know. Other than that, I could see why they were throwing a lot of balls though. Right. Because it was dewy in the air. It was hard, probably hard to grip the ball. So I could see why they struggled with their command. And I think Darvish is going to be perfectly fine. If Darvish could so much as bring us Roki Sasaki, that contract would be worth it. I'd buy a Darvish jersey. Write that down. So I would be super pumped if he could just bring us Sasaki. But I mean, so far at his age, for the money that we're paying him, I'm still pretty happy when I get to see Yu Darvish on the bump.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. I don't know why people are tripping about that. I was just kind of confused. I was like, really? Really? Did you guys see this? We're finding it. See Snell start today?
Yeah, he struggled. Well, then again.
The Giants fans are freaking out, bro. And it's like,
it's
we no. knew what was going to happen. You signed him 2 days before the season.
It's Snell. That's the only thing we can say. It's Snell. He struggles unbelievably in the beginning of the season and his lights out. We were even telling our friends that are Giants fans, you guys are going to hate Snell for the first half of the season. The first half of the season, you're going to absolutely hate him. And probably even more than the first half now because he wasn't in spring training for a hot minute. Yeah. So he's probably going to struggle a little bit more this year than he normally does.
Sorry, I was responding to a chat. no, dude. Yeah, we knew, like, especially because, like, what Giants fans didn't realize, yeah, they were excited. But, bro, Blake Snell takes a long, long time to ramp up. He didn't get signed to like, a week before the season. He's not going to be back in like to Blake Snell form to like July or August, which is typical of him, right? Other than the years he's won Cy Young.
It's probably going to be August.
Right? Yeah. Other than the years he's won Cy Young, this is normally what Blake Snell does. He struggles to start the season and then he turns into Cy Young Blake Snell that we knew and loved last year. And yeah, I was kind of sad that we didn't have him anymore, but as time kept going, it was easier and easier and easier to not want him back because you knew, shit, the longer we take to sign him, the more likely that he's going to be a loss every time he's on the bump. And the Giants so far are seeing that. And I'm sure Bob Melvin probably knew what came with that, right? What came with signing Blake Snell late in the season? He had to have known because, well, shit, outside of the 2 years that he's won the Cy Young, this is normally what he does.
Yeah, no, that's the case, man. And it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, I already said, all right, dude, let Snell have his 2 years in San Francisco. The first year he's probably going to struggle. The next year he's probably going to play better. And then maybe we'll bring him back after that for a cheaper deal. Don't have to break the bank for him. I mean, I like Snell. I think we just saw like 4 chats like, I miss Snell. Like, we like Snell a lot. It's just like the situation that it is, it's like, okay, obviously they weren't bringing him back, and it's probably not going to be that great. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And let's go get into some of these questions here in a second. But we talked about, you know, we talked about this Dodger series a little bit, and we've kind of swayed away from it, just kind of talking about random stuff. But anything else that you guys are like really taking away from this series? Also, you guys didn't give me your profile love yet either.
Oh,
I told you he's gonna break out. That's my hot take here.
Profile brings the vibes are the most important thing to the team, apparently.
Yeah, you're damn right, baby. That smile is that million-dollar smile. I mean, I've always loved Profar. I didn't think he was going to start this good, but I like Profar, bro. He's cool, and I think he meshes well with this team, bro. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it. Is he blowing the mic again? Well, the thing is, guys, with the mic, if I put it right here, it echoes. If I put it right here, it doesn't sound good. So I'll leave it right here.
It's also because something happened to your mic, because you used to record a different way. I don't know if you guys realize this, because Isaac used to set it down how mine is, but if he sets it down now, we don't know why this happened. It makes it like echoes. This like noise the whole time, and it's like static. It's really weird. Like I don't get it. So
I'll try fixing it when I get the chance. But right now is not that chance.
It sounds fine now. I think it sounds fine. It's just if you bring, I think it's just if you bring it all close.
Right here. Yeah, but no, Profar is having a great start to the season. I mean, when you come up in big spots consistently, especially today with the bases loaded, he hit a freaking, it almost went out. If it would have went out, I don't know, man. That would have been, I don't know what was cooler. No, it would have been cooler to see a home run for sure, but it was just awesome to see. It was just awesome to see that it was Profar, right? What a coincidence. And what I'll take away from that whole Will Smith, Jerickson Profar thing, who the hell is Will Smith to call someone irrelevant? I understand he plays for the Dodgers, but if he played for the damn Royals, no one would know his name. So just the only reason he's a little more popular is because he plays for the Dodgers. Otherwise, he would also be pretty damn irrelevant. Not only that, he let the Dodgers absolutely fleece his ass in a contract because he probably could have gotten way more. Instead, he's making what, like 10, 15 million a year? He got destroyed in negotiations? Poor guy. But that's what I'll take away from that whole thing. And he hit three little pussy singles today, I believe. So Jerickson Profar hit a nice 3 RBI triple. So that was nice to see. Another thing I'll take away from the series. The double
is good, though.
Did he hit a double?
Yeah, because he thought it was a home run, so he didn't run out the box.
Right. Oh, yeah, it was a double. I'm sorry. No, he is good. I'll never say he's not good. He's a dog. Another thing.
He's an irrelevant dog.
Another thing I'll say is that it was really surprising on Saturday night when the Dodgers were up by 2 or 3 runs, and they showed a view, and this is because Dodgers fans say they're the best fans, and they showed a view of the stadium, and the stadium was either half empty or more than half empty in a game where they were about to win on a Saturday night. That was just really weird to me because, you know, after signing Shohei Ohtani, having Mookie Betts, having Freddie Freeman, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, yada, 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 you can go on and on and on. I could tell you Padres fans would have still been probably at least 90% capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel like Padre fans always get, like, crap for that kind of stuff, too. And it's like, bro, the ballpark was sold out all last year. And that was, like, in 21, too. Like, those were brutal years. Like, they were awful. And it was still sold out, like, the whole time. So, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, dude, I don't know. You saw I pulled up that Profar Baseball Savant. I don't know why someone's ringing my door. Sorry. You saw that Profar Baseball Savant. Dude, look at that batting value.
Dude, right?
That's insane. Also, I know his fielding isn't too good, but I think it'll be all right. Like, oh my God, last year he was so bad. 22, yeah, he's okay. Yeah, I mean, these aren't too good. But hey, What about right now? All right. He'll slow down, but it's whatever. It's still good. Now, I also wanted to pull this dude's baseball savant up.
Woo!
God damn. This is insane. Wow. Look at that. His batting isn't even that crazy right now. Like, he's doing his thing, but he's hitting a lot of singles, you know, not like a ton of pop right now. Uh-huh. But that's fine. That's totally fine. But base running, that fielding, using a new position that he just learned like a month, like 6 weeks ago. Dude, that's insane. And I feel like he's tearing the cover off the ball too. Chase rate, yep, that's an issue. But if you're looking at a guy that's a rookie, like that's the thing that you want to see. Like that's what you can adjust from. If you go out there and you suck, that's a different story. But it's like, yeah, oh, he has an issue. He chases a lot. Okay, yeah, he's playing against MLB pitching for the first time in his life. Everything else,
yeah, but Tatis does that too.
Standing. Huh?
Tatis does that. I was gonna say it's just an issue with all young guys that just come into the league, right? They just chase a lot.
I know Cunha chased a lot when he was young. Almost a lot of guys have. They just want to hit bombs, and so they swing at a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's crazy though. But yeah, what else we got? What else we got here? What are people thinking about? Who are some guys people want to talk about? Comment what you guys are thinking. Also, I don't know what else you guys got.
I saw someone mention earlier that they should bring Polly back up, but I'd still prefer Polly over Wade.
Me too.
Eggie, me too. Nice. Just put Polly against right-handed pitchers, Eggie against left-handed, and then exactly. Let Manny DH. That's good with me. Let the kids play.
Me too.
Me too. I'd rather see them sign Brandon Belt still. Fam left. I mean, Fam got signed today, right? He signed a minor league deal with the White Sox, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Belt's not making a lot.
No, I'd love to see him sign Brandon Belt. I think it actually makes the most sense. That way, when Manny's ready to come back on the field, you have a DH. But, you know, right now I'm happy with the. Maybe not against righties, but I'm happy with the at-bats Eggie Rosario's putting up, except for one really bad at-bat yesterday. I'd love to see Grant Pauly over Tyler Wade. I think two guys we should probably talk about. I know it wasn't an amazing series, but I think he's starting to kind of show some glimpses of what we know him to be. Manny Machado got his OPS, I believe, above a 750 at least, and in the first inning, he was only a few feet away from hitting a home run. Next at bat, he hits a home run. He ends up with a single in his last at bat. Hits a home run in the first game of the series, I believe. I'm pretty sure he hit a home. Yeah, two-run home run in the first game of the series. He's starting to kind of wake up a little bit, right? And it's encouraging to see because in the last few games when Manny was batting four and he'd come up, you would be a little discouraged because he was so cold. And keep in mind, outside of the MVP, the potential, you know, the second place MVP season Manny had, he typically starts off pretty slow. So, I mean, it's good to see right now he's starting to pick it up so early and especially in such a key series against the Dodgers. Really good to see from Manny Machado. On the flip side, and Manny Machado was taking ground balls and everything today, in case you were wondering. So getting closer and closer, seeing him back out with his gold glove caliber defense. Another on the flip side, there's another guy that should probably get talked about, and not in a good way. It's probably Luis Camposano. Really struggling with the bat right now. I don't think it's a sign of things to come, but right now he has about a 650, 640 OPS. His batting average is still like 250, but the power that we once saw from Luis Camposano isn't really there right now. And for someone that's going to be batting six or seven, you know, especially a guy that was supposed to come up and be more of a power bat, you're kind of hoping to see more out of him. You're kind of hoping to see more gap to gap home runs too. You know, you're hoping to see more of that rather than the singles that you're getting from him. And guys, like, nothing's wrong with singles at all. It's just that when Luis Camposano is supposed to be a guy that hits home runs or not hits home runs, but at least hits for power, you want that OPS to be. And I don't have too high expectations for Camposano. I just want like a 720 or 730 OPS. Like, I'm not asking much. And decent defense. Just be a bridge for when Ethan Salas is ready, right, for the next few years. But yeah, lately you haven't been getting that from Luis Camposano. So those are the two guys in the lineup that I wanted to talk about.
That's fair. I'm not really worried about Campy. Everybody goes through their little slumps. He's going to be fine. Yeah. And Ethan saw his stopgap. I think he's a little rude. I think he could be a legitimate MLB hitter. And hey, if you need a first baseman, you can always transfer him over to first if he's hitting bombs. So a lot of catchers make that transition. So, hey,
yep,
maybe makes it a little bit earlier than, you know, we would like, if, depending on how Ethan Salas does. But, yeah. And, yeah, I did see that Eggy stat. That's why I had mentioned that he should start third against lefties, and Graham Pauly should come back up and start against righties.
That's what we thought was going to happen, too. It's like, that's what we fully expected. It's kind of odd that it didn't go down. Though Graham Pauly, I think Graham Pauly did look a little bit overmatched, I'm not going to lie. And I think him not playing, it makes more sense for him to be in AAA playing a bunch. But, like, still. That's a
good question.
Dude's a dog.
Yeah, let's look into him.
I miss him.
Me too.
Yeah. His contract's only one more year.
Imagine if you had him at first and Cronenworth still at second, Kim at short, and you didn't have Xander Bogaerts.
There's a lot of guys. We can say that about a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think. You brought up Campy. Chase, I'm with you, man. I think that's a little disrespectful to Campy. I think Campy's a good player.
No, I think he's good. Yeah.
I think, well, I mean, I'm just saying, you said stopgap. I think he could play too. I'm with Chase. I think that.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I also do wonder, and I know a lot of people were talking about this, bro. The stance is funky, man. I don't know. Oh, like, weird. Let's see.
I remember saying that when I first saw it in spring training.
It's weird looking, bro. And like, and it's not like, I don't think that it should be like, oh yeah, he needs to start adjusting right now. But if he can continue to struggle a little bit, maybe you go back to what he was doing last year. Because it just was kind of random for him to make an adjustment. Like, he was good last year. So exactly. I was just kind of, I don't know, I thought it was odd. But I think he's going to be fine. He's been a little slumping, but it's not that bad. Yuki Matsui, some people were talking about him. Yuki Matsui's been ridiculous. He's not really striking anyone out, but he just he's getting a lot. I feel like he's getting a lot of ground balls, weak contact for the most part. His breaking ball is really good. The fastball is not like too crazy, but like he's been good. He's been good. Been excited for him. Yeah. People talking about other guys to miss. I don't know, man. I'm just.
Everybody drinking whiskey tonight. Why are we reminiscing on all our old players?
Dude, yeah. I mean, I just saw one in Soto. I saw one about Wood. I think I saw, obviously, Abrams. Naylor. Abrams, yeah. Abrams is. Yeah.
Abrams hurt.
This was, I said this like a week ago, and I said that I would be so surprised if Abrams isn't better than Xander. No, this is like right when the season started. And then, yeah, look how it started. Damn.
Dude, James Wood is probably going to be one of the most. God, dude, that guy's a fucking monster. I wanted to keep him so bad. I think I was more upset about losing James Wood than I was Abrams. I'm not going to lie.
It's fair.
It probably also had to do with the fact that Abrams was playing and he wasn't like crazy. You know what I mean? Like he was just like playing in the bigs normal, where Wood was like, dude, this dude might be nuts. And you're like way more excited about him too.
Mm-hmm.
Like with, like especially him and Gore.
We saw what Gore was. I wanted Gore because he was a controllable lefty, but just the ceiling on James Wood is absolutely unfathomable.
He's
245. Yeah. He can run. He can hit for power. He's got a good jump. He's got a cannon of an arm. Dude, the kid's a monster.
He has star written all over him, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Schultz been cool.
Magnificent.
I still think that everyone was hating on Bob Melvin way too hard.
Me too.
But that's not to discredit Mike Schilt. That's like we liked him. Like we were like they lost Melvin. It was like, okay, that was just weird. That was the real situation. But it was like, okay, that was just odd. However, Mike Schilt got hired. We're like, hey, dude, we talked about Mike Schilt a couple years back about him potentially coming in when he got fired from the Cardinals. And he was, we were like, dude, he shouldn't have got fired. You guys remember having that conversation, right? Where we were like, dude, he should not have got fired.
Well, of course.
Didn't they make the playoffs that year? Was that the year where they went on the crazy run at the end of the season?
Wait, who? Mike Schilt. Yes. Yeah, that was the year they won like lots of 19. Games in a row to make the playoffs. Yeah.
19. Yeah, dude.
19 in a row.
I mean, honestly, his coaching record and stuff, but he was, I don't remember, like, how long was he there?
Only like 2 years.
Schilt was there for, I think, 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
Four.
And he had a good team. One of them was part of the year. You know, like, he took over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they made the playoffs, I think, 3 of those years. Yeah, I think 3 of those years. No, another one he took over. They made it every single year. That's crazy. And you fire him?
Mm-hmm. For Marmol.
That was a stupid decision by them. Because then he came over here and he kind of acclimated after a little bit. And it's like, dude, he's done a good job with the bullpen. Look, I think the bullpen's better. I think that's the most important thing. But I was a little bit concerned. Like, I mean, you guys know, it's like where he will have guys come in and they'll come in and they'll pitch the first out. And I was like, dude, I always feel like this screws him over, even if you're playing to the matchup a little bit. But dude, lately, been looking good. It's been looking like that's the right thing to do. So dude, props for sticking with it, because at first it was like, dude, this is screwing them over every time, and now it's looking a lot better.
Dude, there was a point where he brought in a righty and it was questionable because it was like, well, you're gonna bring in a righty right now to face, who was it, Will Smith, Max Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez, and you were like, well, a righty against Max Muncy in a one run or a, you know, in a game where I forgot which game it was. I want to say it was the first game. And you were like, I don't know how I feel about that. But it was 2 outs. And he walked Max Muncy, intentionally walked, and then got to Teoscar and got the strikeout. I was like, dude, that was a great move, because a lot of people, I don't even think Don and Mudd were really talking about it. It felt like that was the obvious move. Like, that was going to be the move, right? Like, he knew he was going to do that when he brought in the righty. I really wanted him to do that. And I sound like LeBron. But yeah, I thought that was an amazing move. But I thought he managed great.
I knew the entire time. He actually texted me before.
I actually told him, and I told the people around me, that he's going to intentionally walk him. Yeah, but no, that was a great move. And again, you look at the bullpen management, bro. Other than that Tom Cosgrove rough outing, lights out, bro. Completely lights out. And, yeah, I was really happy to see how he managed the bullpen, how he managed the team, man. I mean, I just think like the Padres seem a lot more resilient. They seem like they want to fight. They seem like they're never out of the game. And I mean, you look at some videos from Mike Schilt's past with the Cardinals, how he was like, he seems like a resilient guy and like a passionate guy too. And that's a guy that you want to play ball for.
Dude, big time. Saw a couple here. I want to see what you guys think about this. So as soon as Soto goes to the Yanks, he gets more media attention compared to the Padres. We have potential rookie of the year in Merrill, who gets no coverage compared to Holiday. I mean, Jackson Holiday is a super, super special player. So I don't know if he's the right example, but like, of course the Padres get less.
There is East Coast bias.
Yeah, but also like he's in the Orioles too. It's like not like he's on like some powerhouse organization or anything. There's definitely
that's debatable right now. Orioles are kind of insane. And
no, I'm not saying they're not insane. Oh no, they're awesome. They are definitely like an amazing team. I'm just saying in terms of like media.
Their Triple A team stats in their lineup.
Yeah, they're all stupid. The greatest team ever.
Dude, I think all 9 hitters have over an 850 OPS. And I think 7 of them have an 1,000 OPS.
It's that Jackson Holiday is the son of a former All-Star, Matt Holiday. And he's playing on a team that's hot shit right now. Like, they're honestly one of the best teams and one of the most popular teams in terms of names in baseball and prospects. So that's why and you know what? I think I like when the Padres don't get a lot of media attention, because the years that they got a lot of media attention, they had a collapse and one of the most disappointing seasons in franchise history. So I really like when they have no media attention. I like when they're just the old Padres where, you know, no one really cares. And I mean, we have marketable players, so I don't really care what the media thinks. It's all about the record. And it's all about the record and what they do on the field over what they talk about. And it was funny because, like, at the end of the game when it was 6-3 Padres and it was the bottom of the ninth, instead of talking about, like, how Robert Suarez has been doing, how the Padres bullpen locked up, how Fernando Tatis owns Dodger Stadium, how Jackson Merrill's been so good, they decided to put a graphic of Mookie competing for the MVP again. And it was like, dude, it's 6-3 Padres. It's not, why are we talking about the Dodgers right now? This isn't, and the whole game they were talking about the Dodgers, even before the game, it was, what's his name? Eduardo Perez giving cleats to Freddie Freeman. And then it was, you know, Dodgers this, Dodgers that, Dodgers play amazing baseball, they do it the right way, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a damn? But yeah, man, I mean, the media is always going to go towards the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, those bigger market teams. They're always going to do that. I'm not surprised that Jackson Merrill is not getting attention. I'm not surprised that, you know, we're not really getting a lot of attention. I like it that way. It's kind of how it's been our whole lives, so I like it. But yeah, I mean, they'll get attention. Eventually they're going to get attention.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, bro. I don't really care. They care.
It just kind of, as long as they're not saying dumb shit in the media, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm like last year.
Exactly. Yeah, last year. Yeah, exactly. No, it's true. 22, they weren't getting hyped up at all. Yeah, I didn't listen to the broadcast. Like, I barely had it on. It was like on, but I couldn't really hear it. I don't really care. Like, I know that everyone was freaking out about it. I was like, I'm not even really listening, to be honest. But I know people were like, oh yeah, dude, they always, and they always do that. But that's also like all the sports, bro.
And also, remember that comment last year when Mookie Betts hit a home run off Josh Hader, where the camera went to Fernando and Eduardo Perez says, "That's a superstar, Fernando." It's like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Do you not think Fernando could hit a home run too? Like, this isn't like, why? I don't know, bro. It's just really frustrating to see something. So, like, it's not frustrating to me. I know they're, like, keep in mind, going into every ESPN game, I know that they are going to ride and ride and ride the Dodgers. It could be 10-1 and they will be talking about the Dodgers. But yeah, I like that we don't get a lot of attention.
It's better.
Yeah.
The Padres players don't need a chip on their shoulder. By God, they had a chip on their shoulder last year and they were insufferable. And they sucked all year.
Okay.
Don't jump on the bandwagon when we get high.
You're telling us Padres fans who have been faithful for years and have rode and have been in the stands with some dog shit teams throughout our entire lives. Don't jump on the bandwagon when y'all get hot. I'm sorry, you must not know your fan base.
Uh-huh.
That was that did not. That was also just aged horrible.
Uh-huh.
That was rough. Okay, look, like I said, I don't really care too much about the media as much because that's like, I just know that's how it's gonna be. Like, look, bro, I watch the NFL. I get to hear about Pat Mahomes a whole lot, and I don't want to hear about him at all. In fact, Chase, he beat our fucking team twice, man. So I don't want to hear about him at all. I don't watch Chiefs.
I don't know why you brought him up. I had such a good time without hearing Patrick Mahomes' name. It was to the point people were coming up to me at work after the loss and were coming up to me going, "I'm sorry for your loss. Like, I just watched someone die. I just had someone in my family die." Some of the girls that didn't know that I was a 49ers fan that worked, they're like, "Oh my God, are you okay? Who'd you lose in your family?" I'm like, no, they're saying this about the 49ers.
That's amazing, bro. That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. No, dude, that's the thing.
But you guys don't even have to play Mahomes twice a year. We do.
No, I don't want to hear about you. You guys, you don't have to. You don't have a chance to lose the Super Bowl, so I don't want
to
hear. Yeah,
we don't lose Super Bowls to him. We just blow 21-0 leads to him.
Well, apparently not just to him.
No, it's to everyone, buddy. I know this.
All right. But instead of the media stuff, all right? Well, I guess it's media stuff. But instead of like the Dodger ESPN stuff, there was something that came out that I was absolutely shocked then. All right. This is, and I thought about this was earlier in the week. This is like Wednesday or Thursday. And I took a note. We're bringing this up in the live stream. What is this? What is this stadium ranking? This is insanity. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think, I'm not like biased where I'm like, I think Petco's the best. Fenway is the coolest athletic event, sporting event, like stadium, whatever, that I've ever been in my entire life. Without a doubt. It is like you walk in there, you're like, oh, this is like where sports were born. This is like Coliseum level dopeness, right? Like it's like that level. So for me, Fenway's one. Now I haven't been to Wrigley. I'm going to Wrigley when the Padres play them, right? So I'm going to see Wrigley soon. But that has supposed to have the exact same feel. So those have to be the best. PNC sick. Like that one's super hyped up. People love that. Camden Yards also supposed to be awesome. There are two stadiums on here that I have been to and they make no sense. It's not Oracle. Oracle's sweet. It's not the best, but it's sweet. First one I'll give you, Citi Field. Citi Field blows. Yankee Stadium is so much better than Citi Field, but that is just insane that it's even up here. It is like, I would say it's closer than like to Petco. It's closer to like, or to Oracle or one of those, right? It's closer to Angel Stadium, bro. It's like the feel of Angel Stadium or like, the Coliseum, bro. It sucks. No. It's nicer, but it sucks. It's not good. And Dodger Stadium. I've been to Dodger Stadium a bunch of times. Dodger Stadium is not a nice stadium. Like, doesn't even make any sense.
That shit is horrendous. That shit is so ghetto. Do not put that in the top 10 ever again. That, I mean,
Horse Field, sure, but Horse Field though deserves to be top 10. I don't know if you guys have been there. That is such a nice park, dude. It's so cool to be there.
Which one?
I think
Coors Field.
Yeah, Coors Field. Yeah, that, I don't have problems with those. Those are the two I have problems with. Citizens Bank is also pretty sick, too. Like,
I think PNC Park is also pretty nice. I haven't been there, but from the looks of it, it looks nice.
I will say the top five in no particular order should be Oracle Park, Fenway, PNC, Wrigley, Petco. In no particular order. I don't care what order you arrange them. It's not, I don't really care at all, but Petco's a top five park, man.
Also, I'll say Camden Yards can be tossed in that mix as well.
Yep.
Camden Yards is pretty super sick.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, let's talk about Shohei real quick. Just real quick before we go. Because it looked, and from what I didn't really get to see it, but from what Matt has told us, it looked like Mike Schilt was accusing the MLB of giving juiced baseballs to Shohei Ohtani to break the record on Sunday night. But I mean, dude, hey, I don't know. But you got to add things up, right? National TV in LA against
their rival. They did do the same thing with Judge.
With Judge, they did that against their rivals, against another Japanese pitcher. Bro. It adds up.
Not even just a Japanese pitcher, an all-time great Japanese pitcher.
One of the best to ever do it. That's up.
Yeah. Well, we know that happened with Judge. That's the problem. And the MLB is so sus that it's like, yeah, they probably were. But I think the biggest takeaway about this, forget all of this, and I don't really, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, look at the Dodgers cheating. That's not how I feel, right? That's not how I feel at all.
Yeah, no, it's not the Dodgers.
It's like, yeah, that makes sense that they would do that. But once again, we just shout him out. But once again, shout out Mike Schilt for going out there and saying,
"Dog,
let's give me that ball. Let's see it." And just being like, you guys come and you try to press our guy yesterday? Okay, let's see that baseball. And that's pretty badass, I have to say. And also, like, it just kind of fits, like, what everyone talks about Mike Schilt. So it was pretty cool to see. Just especially because it's like, oh, yeah, Schilt's like that guy. And it's like, you're going to go out there, send that baseball, and say the best player in the league and go, hey, I think that baseball's juiced. That's dope. I'm sorry, but that's dope.
I'm sorry. Look, one thing, bro, I'll say. Mike Schilt will really like put me over the top and like make me his biggest fan if he puts a ball, if he tells the pitcher to put a ball at Will Smith's ribs next time they play. That will, oh my God. Hey, my balls will be moist.
And juicy, apparently.
and Juicy, bro. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen.
I hope so, but no, I don't.
Even if he's cheating, got Isaac all moist and juicy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be fun. I do think it's interesting though. You got to bring it up. You got to bring up the balls, dude. I mean, it's crazy, and then people were like, well, they're marking him or whatever, right? But it's like, that's not why he went out there. Like, he went out there. He actually went out there and, like, did that. So, I don't know. It's pretty hilarious. Chase, what do you think?
They probably did it. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't put it past anything. The MLB has been so sketchy with the baseballs for the past 4 years. Like, the past 4 years, we have not had a single instance of where the balls have been consistent for every single team. Last year, in 2020 was the juice balls, and then 2021, they supposedly fixed that, but then the balls were still flying a little bit more than compared to others. National television games, you know, there's a lot more home runs than everywhere else. And then every other game, you know, the ball wouldn't fly as much. 2023, you know, Judge and Otani getting juice balls, especially Judge, to break the record. And hey, he hit more home runs in September than any other month. And, you know, all ironically, that was the time that they were getting juice baseballs in almost every single game.
Exactly.
And this year, there's potentially Otani's getting juice balls. I wouldn't put it past them.
The best part about this whole thing is like, okay, it's like, why are they doing this? Oh, because they want to make it entertaining. So this is what
just give us juice baseballs. Give everybody juice
baseballs. Just do baseballs it. Exactly. Just freaking do it.
That's not even what I'm about. It goes back to
the whole thing over the sticky stuff. Give the batters juice baseballs, but allow the pitchers to get a better grip. Even Tyler Glasnow said, just give me sunscreen and rosin. I just need a better grip on the baseball.
Yeah, not like, what is it, spider tack?
Not like that. Yeah. That stuff's crazy.
Not spider tack, not pine tar. Sunscreen and rosin.
Yeah. Dude, what I was going to say is, you're talking about like, oh, we're trying to get like people watching and stuff. Forget that. How about don't put the wild card series on Tuesday through Thursday in the middle of the day?
Yeah, that
the perfect weekend event.
That's
3-day series set up for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Why would we do that? Well, we could take those games and put them on from what on the West Coast, like 11 a.m. to 7, and Tuesday through Thursday. So even the people that work late, they don't even have a chance, but they get the end of one game or whatever. That was the dumbest thing ever. That was crazy. But yeah, let's just juice the ball. Like, bro, what the amount of like just dumbness of the MLB is it's unmatched. All right. It is out there.
No, yeah.
At least the NFL does it where it's like, all right, now people are talking, it gets a little crazy, right? That's how the NFL does it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to take a fat pee. I really have to pee. So last thing I'll say is screw the Dodgers, screw Will Smith. Go Padres. That was a great series. That bullpen, dude, I can't get enough of that, how great they performed in that series, especially when you consider, like, the Dodgers were probably the best offense in baseball. Top three, by the way. The Padres really held that top three. Outside of the starters, the bullpen held that top three in check for the most part. And they got the outs when they were supposed to. Like, against the worst bottom three in baseball, it seemed like they were getting out almost every time. So the Padres did what they were supposed to when it comes to the pitching. I was really happy with that series, man. I mean, in order to beat that team, you got to put up 4-plus runs. Both times they beat them, they put up 4-plus runs. And by the way, last thing I'll say, the Padres are like 9-2 in games they put up more than 3 runs. So when this offense gets going, man, they're a scary team. So that's the last thing I'm going to say. I have to go pee. My food is here. I'll talk to you guys later.
Chase, you got anything else?
Probably right there. I think we're good. I think that covers it. I mean, we also got episodes to make, so can't talk about everything.
Yeah, and we'll get into it. We'll do one on Merrill.
Yeah, and my laptop about to die, so we got to wrap this.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to y'all soon. Massive series win. That was sweet. That was awesome baseball. That was super fun. So, yep, we'll see you guys soon. If you're not subscribed, whatever, following, checking out the channel, do all that stuff, helps a lot. Appreciate it. See y'all. Have a good night. Go Padres.